Good morning. What a beautiful summer day today is, right? Like, it's like so beautiful, especially after last week of rain and gloomy weather. This is 2026 summer. We are on, full on summer, and we are starting a summer series, Traveling Light. It's going to be good. I just sense Jesus wants to do lots of things in our heart this summer. So get ready. Because we want to travel light. You want to travel light in this life, don't you? Like that picture is just what you need. How many of you are going somewhere for holidays this summer, even for a weekend? How many of you are traveling by plane? Wow, there's a few of you. You are traveling by plane. I find one of the tricky part of flying is packing. Do you remember the last time you packed to go on a flight? Maybe when you overpacked. I remember Derwin and I were, this was in October, we were going away. We were going to travel by plane. And we were so busy that fall. Like, both of us were so busy. I had so many deadlines. He had so many deadlines. And we were flying on Sunday. We usually take our holidays starting Sunday after church. So we were going to fly. And Devin and I were packing on Saturday. Not a good idea. Frantically packing. And Devin was preaching the next morning. And then right after service, off we go to the airport, and there we are in front of the attendant, and you put your luggage on the weighing scale, and you know that, right? And then, you know, it's supposed to be 23 kilograms, and, you know, we put our luggage, it was going up, up, and 23, and it was still going up, and up, and up, and it stopped at 26.3. And here I am immediately praying that, Lord, there would be some temporary blindness over this attendant would come, that she wouldn't see this 26.3 kilograms. No such luck. She says to us, ma'am, you need to take your luggage and take some stuff out, and it should be 23 kilograms. So here we are in front of everyone. Open up your luggage, you know, like, you don't want anyone seeing your luggage, right? All your underwear, everything is there. And here we are taking everything out and repackaging, you know, putting stuff into our backpacks, into our carry-ons, into our handbag. And off we went. There was any marriage meltdown that day at the airport. I don't think so. At least I don't remember. But we made it to where we were supposed to go. Traveling light, I find, requires thoughtfulness, intentionality, and time. Time to prepare. I'm not great at it. Packing, because sometimes I like to prepare for every calamity that's going to happen, right? My greatest fear in life is I'm going to be cold, so I like to pack many, many sweaters. Derwin would know this. And until we were flying to Italy, this was a few years ago, we went to Italy, and we got cheap flights to UK, and we were excited, and then we were going to fly from UK to Italy. So it was a three-week holiday. The only caveat was we were from UK to Italy. We were taking Ryanair. I don't know how many of you have taken Ryanair. They only allow you one carry-on luggage per person. It was $32, mind you. Like, so cheap, right? You can't even fill your gas tank. So carry-on, I'm like, what? Devin put the rule for all of us. We have two young men, sons, and like all of us, we are going to go with carry-on for 3 weeks. I'm like, wow. Anyway, I decided I'm going to do it. And so Devin is like, I'm not carrying all your luggage in Amalfi Coast, 27, 28 steps up, Angel. You just get only carry on. So everything had to fit into this, which meant what I did was over weeks, I would open my luggage and right beside it, I would put all the stuff that I wanted to take and everything when I was packing. Is this really needed? Is it needed? And then, you know, off I went. Because if you don't pack light, there is a cost to you. Of course, in Ryanair, I think it was like 100 euros for checked luggage or something like that. So, you know, that cost. But also the other cost, right? When you pack all these luggage. If in our lives, if we don't travel light, we can look like this. I have a picture of a, there you go. That's what we end up. We look like that. As I was preparing for this message, I just sense some of you are like that picture there. You have all this invisible luggage that you are carrying, this extra luggage, backpack of guilt and shame of our past that goes everywhere with us. We have carry-ons that we take very easily, worries and burdens. Then we have handbags or the body pouches we wear with expectations of others, expectations of our families, and expectations of ourselves, right? Pressure to perform for that, unmet expectations. Then we have the heavy check luggage of unforgiveness and bitterness. Then personal luggage that we carry everywhere, this low-grade anger that exists until we fly off the handle because life or traffic or people don't behave the way you want them to. Of course, we have overnight bag of loneliness and fear. And some of you, this burden is killing you. All the stuff that you carry. And I just sense Jesus wants to help you. Even as we begin even memorizing the scripture this summer and this week and today, he wants to help you. I'm just going to pray. Jesus, for some of us, life hasn't worked out the way we had hoped. The vision of our life, it just feels like we are in a fog or we are drowning. Lord, we bring all this luggage into your light. Father, would you expose the hidden luggage that we carry underneath it all? Lord, sometimes perfectionism, anxiety, shame of our past mistakes, and this exhausting pace of modern life feels like too much. Teach us, Jesus, how to live well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you find that prayer resonated with you, I just sense Jesus speaking these words over you this morning from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 13. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let's look at line by line. Jesus starts with come. When somebody says come, they want you to come near them, right? It's an invitation to come near them. With Jesus, it's always invitational. Come. Come is his invitation. Even with the disciples, that's how he started, right? Come, follow me. But the amazing thing, the one who invites and says come is the one who knows you intimately. He knows everything about you. It's not the facade you put out for people, so people, you know, judge you by the looks. This is somebody who knows you intimately. He knows the depths of you. All the brokenness, our twistedness, our tendencies to addictions, the real you. He knows you to the bottom, and he loves you to the skies. When somebody like that invites you, that's a totally different ballgame, isn't it? He knows you intimately, yet he loves you. And then the second thing he says is, come to me, right? It's not to a teachings, not to a regiment, not to a boot camp, not to a religion, not to serve. But he's saying, come to me. It's personal. Durbin talked about it 2 weeks ago, I think. You know, when we were on the series in Exodus, God has a name, Yahweh. It means he is a person. And he has a name. He calls you. God introduces himself often. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because each of them had a personal relationship with God. It's an individual relationship. Each man had to discover God for himself and find this relationship on his own. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. So Jesus' invitation is very personal, very individual. He calls you by name. But you have to leave where you are and come to him. Coming to Jesus is not a one-time decision. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, I made the decision, you know, to follow Jesus, you know, 30 years ago. Coming to Jesus is a daily thing. You have to follow Jesus daily, hourly, sometimes depending on what circumstances you are in. It's like minute coming to Jesus. And then Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. That's all of us, right? In some way, shape, or form, we are carrying burdens. Like Durbin said, the world is in turmoil, right? There is wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, economic collapse. Our children, the young generation, they are calling the anxious generation. They are stressed and anxious. The inflation of prices for food and housing, joblessness, uncertainty, whether you're caring for your children or you're caring for your parents, feelings of inadequacy, we are carrying heavy burdens. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. He says, if you come, I will give you rest. This is a promise. I will rest you, Jesus says. But there's a catch, right? I will give you, which means you have to receive it. I can say, I'll give you 100,000 now, and I could give you a check, but I'm not, because I don't have money to give. But if somebody who had money gave you 100,000 check, you have to take that money and put it in your bank account. Otherwise, that doesn't mean anything. Jesus says, I will give you. You have to take it. I remember my mom gave my son for his birthday $100, Caleb. And Caleb was so excited to get it, but he lost it or forgot it, and he didn't put it in the bank. Did he receive $100? No. My mom gave it to him, but it was not a gift. He took it, right? He didn't use it. That is the way it is when Jesus gives you. You have to receive it. You have to take it like a child. That's why when we worship and pray, we are like, you know, I put my hand up. I'm like, Father, help me. I need you, right? Like we come to our dad and say, Lord, give me all that I need. We need to receive from Jesus. And Jesus, that's why Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because children, you know, you give them something, they don't ask any questions. They take it, right? You can give them anything, they'll take it. We are meant to be like that with our Father in heaven. Then he says, I will give you rest. Next week, Mark Buchanan is going to talk about rest. So I'm going to leave that to him. Which is going to be a very good Sunday, by the way, next Sunday. So make sure you come. Then Jesus says, I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, when I say yoke, what comes to your mind? For some people, they immediately think legalism or bondage or heavy work. But to the first century people whom Jesus told this, spoke to, that audience, they would know immediately what yoke is. Yoke is a tool for farming. That's what yoke is. You know, the first century was an agrarian culture. They did farming. That's the way they lived. So for them, yoke is an equipment to plow their land. And the land where Jesus was speaking these words to was a hard, dry land. Now imagine if you are the first century farmer and you bought this young, strong, sturdy ox to plow the land. If it is not trained, you wouldn't put that ox on the plow, because he would just go crazy, you know, carry that plowing thing and run around and get tired and worn out. He is capable, but he is untrained. He'll pull too fast, veers to the left, gets frustrated within an hour, absolutely exhausted, and so, because he's fighting this hard, harsh land. He's no help to the farmer. Now, the experienced farmer doesn't put that ox to the plow. What he would do is he would go and get this massive wooden double yoke. That's what a double yoke looks like. It's massive. It's wooden carved. This is the tool for farming. That tool means partnership. That's what the first century audience would immediately go. When Jesus said yoke, they would go partnership. Because the farmer would place one loop on this new oxen and place the other loop on the experienced, massive, older, seasoned oxen. And he would put them together and then put it on the plowing. And there's a picture of the oxen plowing the field. When the young one starts to move, tries to run, the beam would keep it from running. The older ox just takes steady, calm, perfectly paced steps forward. The young ox, even though it veers off into the right or to the left, but the weight of the older ox will gently pull him back into line. Here's the secret of the double yoke. The older, stronger ox is pulling the vast majority of the weight. The young ox is simply learning to walk at the older ox's pace. You see, the young ox may think that he is working hard, but he is actually being carried by the strength and the rhythm of the master beast next to him. So now you see, right, why Jesus uses this word, yoke. For Jesus, this is the partnership he is offering. He is the master beast that is beside you. He knows the pace of life you are meant to walk. And he is inviting you to yoke up with him. And you know what? He will carry the heavy weight. He knows us. He knows life on this earth is hard, right? It is. We live in a broken world. We have sicknesses, illnesses, right? Death around us. We have broken people we are living with, right? Who does crazy things. He knows life is hard. The fear of the unknown, now that's a burden. It's too much for us. We are always worried about the future, right? Is life going to turn out okay? Is this person going to work out okay? Is our kids going to turn out okay? That burden is too much for us. But you know, the master beast, Jesus beside us, he knows the future. He knows the pace to keep. And then he invites us, come, yoke up with me. Take my yoke upon you. Walk with me at my pace. I know how to do life. And then he says this profound thing. He says, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Amazing invitation. Amazing. He says, let me teach you. Let me teach you. Why? Because he says, I'm humble and gentle at a heart. Do you know this is the only time in Scripture, where Jesus, God, opens his heart and says, this is who I really am. This is the only time. And he says what? I am humble and gentle at heart. This is the true heart of God. Does this line up with the way you think of who God is? Your imagine of who God is, do you often think he is gentle and humble at heart? When I say God, you think of so many things, right? But not that. Have you ever had a teacher like that in school? Gentle and humble at heart? I had one when I came to Canada, the first time when I arrived here with my family. My ESL teacher, Mrs. Fosslands, she was gentle and humble at heart. Man, I could go and ask her any questions. and she would answer them. But more than the question, I felt like she was a refuge to me. You see, when you come to Canada, life is hard. You feel disoriented. The first 2 years, you feel like you don't know which side is up. And you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, you don't have any family or friends around you. And Mrs. Fosslands was very kind. She, the big class, she divided into two-thirds and one-third. Two-thirds was the desk and chairs, you know, for us to sit and learn. The other one-third, she put couches. And she divided it with this bookshelves. And she said to us, anytime you feel overwhelmed, you could come and sit here. And you know, I went and sat on those couches so often those first 2 years, because it was a place of comfort, a place of refuge for me. I couldn't even tell my parents all that I was struggling with, but I would go there and find peace. If she's there, she would come and say to me, Angel, how are you? Tell me what's going on. And man, I felt like it was a safe place to land. And that is who Jesus is. He's gentle and humble at heart. You see, Jesus, he is the lion, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can roar, and man, your enemies would take flight. But he is also the Lamb. That's why we sing that song, right? He is the one who sits on the throne, is a Lamb. He's gentle and humble at heart. Knowing this Jesus should give you comfort. Knowing this Jesus, you should be able to come with all your burdens, all the loads that you are carrying when life doesn't make sense. And then he says, Jesus says, my yoke is easy to bear. This partnership, Jesus says, is easy to bear. The word easy in Greek there means suitable and fitting. It's tailor-made for you. That's what the partnership Jesus is inviting you into is suitable and fitting for you. Not for your husband or your family member. It's just for you. Like we's Dervin and I sit in our car. If Dervin is driving, you know, the seat is back and low. And then when I come to sit in it, I need to lift it all the way up, full, the maximum, and straight, right? That's not Jesus' load for you. It's fitting for you. It fits you. And then we as apprentices of Jesus, we need to study Jesus, right, in the gospel. How did Jesus do life? Because Jesus had a yoke too. It says, my yoke, right? He wore a yoke the 33 years he lived on this earth. And if you're wondering what that yoke is, you need to go and read that verses 26 and 27. Where Jesus says, doing what my Father does, saying what my Father says, that's the yoke Jesus wore. He wore a yoke all the time. There was a partnership that Jesus was involved in, Father and the Son doing everything together. He says it comes out of the intimacy of this Father-Son relationship. And you could see Jesus, when he was troubled, he would go alone. When he didn't know what to do, he would go alone. When the burden was too much to bear, he would go alone. When he was tempted, he would go alone. And Jesus is inviting us to this partnership. this intimacy. I want to read it to you, this in the Message version. Jesus says, "The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of the Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I am not keeping it to myself. I am ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Let me teach you. I am gentle and humble at heart. So Jesus reveals this is the partnership he was on, and then he is inviting us into this intimacy. What I want you to remember out of all this today is Jesus is telling us we have access to this intimacy. The Father-Son intimacy, we have access to it. He's saying, I will teach you line by line how to live in this intimacy, this Trinitarian life together. I just want to read you, if you're wondering, what should I do this summer? What should I study? I would encourage you, if you don't have anywhere to go in your scripture, study John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Just those four chapters, you could spend the rest of your life studying. Just immerse yourself in that, because it's about this abiding in Christ thing Jesus talks about. This is the last words Jesus tells us before he dies. So these are important stuff. I'll just read you one verse Jesus talks about in John chapter 14, 19 to 20. He says, because I live, you also will live. He's talking about resurrection. And then he says, on that day, the day he resurrection happens, he says, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. If you can grab a hold of that, man, you would live a very different life. He's saying, he's in the Father, but we are in him, and he is in us. Like, this is the access he's talking about. We really can live this Trinitarian life together. Often we think freedom is doing what I want to do, right? That's what we think, right? Whatever I want to do, if I can do that, that's freedom. But that's not really freedom, is it? If all you want to do is sit and eat ice cream and watch TV, that's not really, it's fun for a day, maybe two, but after that, it wears out, right? Real freedom is living this life Jesus is inviting us to. Living this large life, abundant life with the Trinity. He wants us to live this connected life, connected to the author of life. That life is a large life. If it was up to us, all we do is live this small life, worried about what am I going to do today, what am I going to do tomorrow, is life going to work out, right? That's all we live. We live a very small life. Jesus says, you plug into me, man, you would live this everlasting life, this large life, life that is beyond the life that you imagine. Think of it like this. You have your iPhone, your Android phone. Think of that as you, right? Your phone can do lots of stuff, right? It can do lots of stuff. That's who you are. But if that phone is not connected to the power source, it's a very, very limited, small life that phone lives, right? You have to throw the phone out if it's not connected to the power source. That is what Jesus is saying. You are like the phone. You live a small life. But you plug into me, and we would live this large life. How do you live that life? It's, you think of how Jesus did. He did silence, solitude, sitting with his Father. And that's what he's inviting us. Come with your burdens. Come with your brokenness, your mess, places where life is not making sense to you. You come and let Jesus sit with you. He says, I will teach you how to do life. Because you see, he forgives all your sins. He forgives all your sins. Your shame, he forgives them. He nails them to the cross. He heals all your inner ugliness. He heals it. Takes time, but he does. Ugly parts of us, he heals. The broken parts of us. He redeems us from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. He is willing to partner with you, yoke up with you. That is the invitation. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. What does this look like for us day to day? This invitation and living this life. For me, my greatest worry and anxious thoughts is my kids. They are not kids, they are men. And they are, one has a wife, the other one has a significant other. I worry about them, how life is going, how they are doing life. My other worry is Derwin, you know, how we are doing life together. And all the things that involved in that, those are my biggest worries that sometimes can drown me and where I am in my life and all that. And you know, for me, every morning I come, I sit with Jesus. This is the rhythm I'm in every morning, and I give him my burdens, the things that I'm carrying that are too much for me, anxious thoughts. I sit until he speaks life into me. He causes rivers to flow in barren places. He plants, he makes streams flow in the desert inside me, where there is thistles and thorns are growing inside me because of burdens. He plants beautiful trees and vineyards. He would say to me, do not fear, angel. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he will say to me, I will turn your mourning into dancing. That same Jesus is here this morning, and he wants to speak life into those desert places, those thorny places in your heart. And he wants to speak this over you. This is the same in the Message version. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out trying to do life on your own terms? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You will learn to live freely and lightly. The one who speaks this to you is the one who loves you the most. The one who speaks this to you wants to carry the heavier burden, the heavy side. And we are going to sing songs now. And if you feel like, man, God is stirring, there's something, I want you to come to the front. It's not that this section is more holier than where you sit. It's just you coming up and saying, God, I need to receive something from you. Or it's saying, Lord, I want to put this thing that I've been struggling with. You're putting a flag on it and saying, this is Jesus's. And you know, this morning I went for a walk. And the picture he gave me was, you know, I don't know much about football, so it's interesting. The Lord would give me a picture of a football game. And he said, Angel, you throw the ball at me. I am the best catcher. And I sense he wants to say that to you. Throw whatever you are carrying. He's the best catcher. And then he will throw something back to you that is not so heavy. So even as you sing, let him teach you.